ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 ॐ नमो भगवते
भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर नंबर 1 टेक्स्ट नंबर 14 1114 इट्स अ स्पेशल टेक्स्ट एंड आई विल एक्सप्लेन लिटिल बिट लेटर व्हाई वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम हियर व्हाई वी आर गोइंग बैक टू कैंटो 1 इज एट द मोमेंट एट द टेंपल वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 5 सो आई विल एक्सप्लेन अबाउट इट लेटर सो 1114 एंड द चैप्टर इज टाइटल्ड दिस क्वेश्चंस बाय द सेजेस टेक्स्ट नंबर 14 Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is fear by fear personified. So many beautiful points that also Prabhupada elaborates in this purport. That the holy name of the Lord can free us immediately. We don't have to wait for next lifetime. It can free us in this lifetime. And if we are even more sincere, it can free us immediately. It's like how we have a Vikrama Maharaj. And it can free us immediately even if we chant, you know, unconsciously. And that is the power of the holy name. And then Prabhupada explains in his book that the holy name of the Lord is not different from Krishna. Krishna has empowered the holy name fully. So you know, there is no difference from Krishna and his holy name. Now with that, maybe with the next 20 or 25 minutes, we'll just have some discussions about the holy names of the Lord. So I think, you know, the first place we start is always the beginning. Let's just discuss very quickly what is exactly the holy name. We hear about the holy name, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we should chant attentively, we should chant with focus, we should chant with our mind, focus on the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, so on and so forth. So after, given that it so happens that the week starts today, so after that, we know the basics, but let's just reiterate the point so that it's clear in our mind. It's also as a bit of a refresher, so that we can go deeper into the holy name for the, from now on. So what exactly is the holy name? And given that Prabhupada has already explained to us so many times that the holy name is not different from Krishna. Holy name is Krishna. So why are we not able to realize that fact, that the holy name is Krishna? For us, chanting seems to be sometimes a lot of times technical, and we don't get the taste, and so on and so forth. So I speak on all those aspects. So what exactly is the holy name? The Acharya gives us an example. One time there was a very poor person in the village, and some or the other, out of his, based on his good behavior and character and so forth, he pleased the king of the village a lot. So being pleased by the king, he was invited to the assembly, and the king asked him to ask for anything that he wants. And of course, because he was poor, he had never seen gold, but he knew a little bit about gold, but he had never seen gold. So he asked the king if he can see the hidden chambers of the kingdom to see what actually gold constitutes. So the king said, "Tathastu, your desire has been fulfilled." So then the guards took him to the inner closet, the chambers of the kingdom, and showed him gold. And lo and behold, he was surprised to see the dangling, sparkling effect of all the gold, and his understanding of what actually gold is materialized, crystallized at that point in time, that this is actually gold. So, what is interesting is when after seeing the gold, when he was returning to the upper chambers, climbing up the stairs, then he realized that actually this staircase is also plated with gold. This staircase is gold plated. Now this understanding he absolutely did not have when he was going down the stairs. He was oblivious to the fact that the staircases are gold plated. But when he saw the gold in the hidden chambers of the kingdom, of the palace, he realized that actually what I am stepping on, what I am holding as the railings is also gold. So what is happening here? Until he saw the gold, the real gold, his understanding that the staircase was also gold plated was not there. Similarly, the Acharya is explaining to us that this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this holy name, is Krishna. And we are chanting this every day, every now and then, but do we really have the realization that this is actually Krishna? A lot of times it can be artificial, or a lot of times it can be struggling to even connect this holy name to Krishna. But once we get that deeper understanding, and once for a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, our acharyas, and Dashakur, for them, when they chant the holy name of the Krishna, they know that this is Krishna. They have the full realization. Just as the poor person has the realization that this staircase is also gold. So we perhaps still have a long way to get there, to see the holy name as Krishna. Theoretically we understand, philosophically we understand, 10 years only journey to realize the light. But Acharya is explaining to us, once we get there and see the Holy Name as Krishna, as absolutely no different, then we are talking to Krishna face to face. When the Holy Name manifests, when we chant, Krishna literally manifests in that Holy Name. And that realization will come in due course of time. Another way to explain the same thing is that we take our example, or maybe we take an example of a new person coming to the temple. And we know this, or I'll repeat this. For him coming to the temple, they coming to the temple, when they see the deities on the altar, for them it might just be stone. That's the first realization, that this is just some stone carved up based on as deities. Now, a second level of understanding will be that actually, these are not just stones, but these are representation of gold. Representation as in, there may be gold, this is the second level of understanding, there may be gold, and somebody has depicted that maybe this is how gold looks. This is the representation of the gold, second understanding. Now, the highest understanding is that this is not just stone, this is not just representation of Krishna, this is manifestation of Krishna. There's a difference between representation and manifestation. We know that these are not just representation of Krishna, these are manifestation of Krishna. In other words, this is Krishna. But again, how many times are we able to absolutely realize that this is Krishna? Are we really talking to Krishna? Or are we really just taking darshan of some deities, or are we worshipping some deities? So our understanding also, our realization sometimes also fluctuates depending on our mood and all that. But philosophically we understand that this is manifestation of Krishna. So similarly, the Holy Name is manifestation of Krishna, not just some representation of Krishna, not just some ordinary sound, but that is Krishna. So if we keep chanting, one day we realize that the Holy Name is Krishna and the deities are also absolutely Krishna, absolutely no difference. Yeah? So that's our journey. And Prabhupada, of course, gave us a famous example of the difference between an ordinary paper and a $50 note. Although it looks like an ordinary paper, but the $50 is a manifestation of some currency, it has got value. So a baby or a child will not understand that. But an adult will understand that this is not just ordinary paper, this is money. So similarly, so many energies now, that there's a difference between ordinary paper in a currency bill, there's a difference between just a stone and manifestation of Krishna, and difference between just an ordinary sound compared to this transcendental sound vibration, which is Krishna. So we can understand what exactly is Holy Name. So what is, so to summarize all that, what exactly is Holy Name? Holy Name is Krishna. Manifestation of Krishna. Krishna has manifested all his powers in the Holy Name of Krishna. That's what Prabhupada writes in the book also. Yeah? So, given that so, the Holy Name is manifestation of Krishna, why are we not able to realize it? What is our problem? Why are we not able to realize that there is Krishna? So, few things we need to understand. Firstly, is that the Holy Name, because it is spiritual, because it is Krishna, it is spiritual, it is coming, it should naturally come from the soul. Jiva Sarupave Krishna Nityana Prasana. The soul chants the Holy Name of Krishna. That is where it should originate naturally. Now, our problem is, because the soul is conditioned, it is not able to chant Holy Name of Krishna Satatam Kirtiyam Dhamma 24/7, not able to do it, we are covered with material anarthas. So then what happens, or let's continue that thread, for pure devotee who is unconditioned, for him, let's take Prabhupada for example, for him, the Holy Name emanates from the heart, from the soul, and because of that, it's always engrossed in the mind. And because it is engrossed in the mind, it is always verbalized on the tongue. Let's take an example. If we like somebody, if we like somebody, then that person is in our heart, our friends, our families, you know. Picture somebody in your heart. Now, because that person is in your heart, he will naturally be filled in our mind. And because he will be filled in our mind, it will naturally also come on our tongue. We will want to talk about that person, we want to speak about that person, we want to, you know, sing the glories of that person, or whatever it be. So if you see what is happening, what is in our heart comes in our mind, comes out through our tongue. No? That is when the love is not artificial, that is when the love is genuine. So for pure devotee in whose heart Krishna resides, the glories of Krishna naturally comes in his mind and it is realized through the tongue. There is unconditional stage. Now we are in a conditional stage. So what is our problem? We have to almost do, let's say, reverse engineering, you know, to detox the heart so that, you know, a natural situation can again re-return. And how do we do it? Because Krishna is not there in our heart from our realization, we need to then verbalize the holy name of the Lord. And remember, the verbalization of the holy name of the Lord is a byproduct for pure devotee almost. But for us, we make effort to verbalize the holy name of the Lord. What do I mean by verbalize the holy name of the Lord? I mean by chanting, loudly chanting so we can hear the name. When we verbalize it, we try to focus our mind on Krishna. Once the verbalization is repetitive, and once the mind is focused on Krishna, the heart started, the soul starts getting reawakened, Prabhupada says, the process of reawakening of the heart. The love for Krishna, the bhakti for Krishna is dormant in our heart. It is just a matter of reawakening. How do we reawaken it? By verbalizing the holy name, focusing the mind on Krishna, and the soul gets reawakened. Once the soul gets reawakened, the chanting of the holy name becomes just natural thing for us to do. So then we might be able to realize that the holy name of Krishna is actually Krishna because of our conditional stage. Now, next topic. Then, what is mechanical chanting? Just to elaborate on the previous point. What is, we hear this word many times, mechanical chanting. What is actually mechanical chanting? Elaborating on what we just discussed, that the holy name of the Lord should naturally come from the heart, occupy our mind, and verbalize on the tongue. Mechanical chanting is when we are just verbalizing the holy name of the Lord, but it is not in our mind what we speak of in our heart. It is just repetitive chanting of the whole holy name without any focus. Now, so is there a problem when we just do mechanical chanting, just verbalize the holy name? Is that a problem? Well, that is not the best way of chanting, and that's why we are repeatedly told to focus, to do attentive chanting. But the good news is that even that mechanical chanting leads eventually to pure chanting at the end of the day. Even that mechanical chanting, because the chanting of the holy name is so powerful that even the mechanical, from the offensive stage, we eventually reach the cleansing stage and then finally to the Suddhanama, to the pure chanting of the holy name. So on days, this is not to be taken as a license, but on days when there is so lethargic that we are not able to chant, and we are doing it almost like as a compliance rather than as love, that should also not be given up. We have to chant. In any time, place, and circumstance, chanting has to be done. But of course, on days that when we are chanting the holy name with love, then nothing is better than that in the world. So, next topic. Sometimes, we get asked, when we are chanting, because we are not pure devotees, because holy name is not naturally coming from our heart, because at times we do mechanical chanting, to counter the mechanical chanting, is it okay if we keep certain paraphernalia of the Lord in front of us when we are chanting, or can we chant in front of our home altar, can we chant in front of some pictures, can we have a tape recorder that is playing on with some lectures or some kirtan or some bhajans, can we use these items to help us focus on the chanting of the holy name? So a couple of things to understand here. As I said, when we love somebody, or even if we don't love somebody, when we take a person's name, naturally the attributes of that person will come to mind. It's natural. Regardless whether the person is famous or not famous. But let's take some famous personalities at the moment. Let's say some famous cricketer, Sachin Tendulkar, if you take. When you talk about Sachin Tendulkar, then naturally some characteristics about him will start coming to mind. That he is the best batsman, he scored his many runs, blah, blah, blah. If I say Daniel Radcliffe, then we are seeing him so many times on TV these days. Then naturally some pictures of him start coming to mind and some speeches that he has made and such a tough time that he is coming through as a leader, etc. So that's nature. A name of a person naturally triggers some attributes of that person. So therefore, for a pure devotee, when he chants the holy name of the Lord, it is the rupa, the guna, the leader of the Lord will naturally come to his mind. But our situation is different. The question that we are talking about is that, can we use the nama, guna, leader of the Lord to help us remember Krishna? The other way around. This is the conditional stage problem. So the answer to that question is, we have to firstly understand that it is Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. At the end of the day, it is Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. It is only the holy name of the Lord. And that is the medicine, the holy name of the Lord. But because we are not able to focus only on the holy name of the Lord, in that situation, using other stimuli that may help us to focus on the holy name of the Lord can be utilized. It can be utilized. But the holy name of the Lord, because it's Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, and because we are using other stimuli to focus on the holy name, we have to keep in mind that the other stimuli should not become substitute for the holy name of the Lord. You get the point? So if you are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra and we are sitting in front, or we are meditating on a pastime of the Lord, at the end of the day, our attention has to come back to the name of the Lord, not the leader of the Lord. That is definitely beneficial, but it has to come back to the name of the Lord. The guna and the leader cannot become replacements for the holy name of the Lord. Prabhupada did say that for 1.5 hours, sit down and meditate on some pastimes of the Lord. For 1.5 hours or 2 hours, we have to sit down and chant the holy name of the Lord. That is the point. So if it helps, keep in mind, I'm sure most of us do need that, other stimuli to help our chanting. Remember a circle. Inside the circle, in the center, there's a point of that circle. That's what it is, the center of concentration. And then there is a circle within which we can concentrate. And then there is outside the circle. So what we have to do is get our mind to the center of the circle, which is Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, only the holy name of the Lord. If we cannot do that, then we can let our mind wander around, but it should be within the circle of concentration. And in the circle of concentration can be things like some verses, some pictures of the Lord, some pastimes, something about devotees, something about Prabhupada, something that do with that is connected with the holy name, something spiritual. But at any point in time, if the mind wanders outside the circle, to what is happening in office, what is happening with coronavirus, when can we fly again, when will the vaccine come, if the thoughts are there, then we know it is outside the zone, then we know we are outside the lockdown area. We can use the circle as our lockdown zone. It's there within the lockdown. Anything outside the lockdown, the virus will catch us. So it's within the boundary of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So we have to keep it to the point of concentration. But the circle of concentration can be the stimuli. Outside the circle, absolutely no goes on. But we know it goes there. And by the way, as I mentioned at the beginning of the class, that whatever I am preaching is, whatever I am saying is my understanding, definitely not my realizations, because I am a student of this wisdom as well. Another who was giving brilliant energy in this example recently, he said that we may not be tall enough to reach the moon. We may not be tall enough to reach the moon, to touch the moon, but that does not stop us from glorifying the moon. So similarly, I am definitely not in the realizations about the holy name of the Lord, but that doesn't mean we cannot glorify the holy name of the Lord. And given the holy name weak, then glorifying the holy name of the Lord is my devotion. And that's definitely what is requested of us. So, now, why don't we get the taste in the holy name? Sometimes people ask us, we've been chanting for so many years, so we're not getting the taste in the holy name of the Lord. What is wrong? Actually, sometimes, you know, it's like, will the taste actually ever come? Or it is just thrown at us as a bait to chant, but it may never come. Is the chanting, how do we get the taste? A couple of things to understand there. That the reason we don't get the taste, if, by the way, sometimes we definitely taste, you know, the Maha Mantra is blissful, and sometimes we don't. So when I say we, I just need to generalize it, because I'm sure a lot of people, you know, out there seeing online and in this room as well, you may be always relishing the bliss in the chanting of the holy name. So please pardon me if I keep saying we, it's just easier when I speak as we, but I don't mean to be offensive to anybody who are pure devotees out there. So why don't we get the taste in the holy name of the Lord? It is because our natural position is to be at ease. E-A-S-E. That is our natural position, to be at ease. We all want to be at ease. But if we add D-I in front of ease, then what does it become? Disease. Because we are diseased, the taste in the chanting of the holy name doesn't come. Almost like the coronavirus in the morning. It's natural for us to be, you know, to be out, you know, and be in the public, you know, in the parks, you know, just as social civilians as we used to be before March 2020. But the coronavirus is locked down in a diseased stage, you know? So that's why we find it unnatural. People are getting literally suffocated inside their house. It's like, when can we get out? When all these things can open up? Because it's unnatural for us to be in a pandemic, in a diseased stage. We want to be out there and taste the freedom of material world, if you like. You know, there's nothing that good outside anywhere from a spiritual point of view. But at least we want to be out and about. You know? That's the natural disposition of our entity. So because of the disease stage, you know, we are experiencing that anxiety. So because the living entity is diseased, he is not at ease. Now, what is our disease? Our disease in Sanskrit is called bhava-roga. Our bhava-roga is our material anarthas. In the Bhagavatam, you know, when we talk about the when Brahma asks Lord Vishnu, you know, the four questions, you know, about the philosophical understanding of Bhagavatam. In response to that, Lord Vishnu gives the Chatusloki Bhagavatam. In the second Chatusloki Bhagavatam, what does Lord Vishnu say? He gives a very, of course, it's coming from Lord Vishnu, so it has to be profound, you know. He gives the definition of what is anartha. What is artha and what is anartha? Let's talk. And the reason I'm quoting that is because at the moment we are talking about that we don't get taste in the holy name because we are covered with those anarthas. So what does Lord Vishnu say in Chatusloki Bhagavatam 2? Hrite artham yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tad vidya dharmano maya yatha bhasho yatha tamaha. Hrite artham yat pratiyeta. So Lord Vishnu says that Hrite artham. Artha means of value, Prabhupada explains in that translation. Artha means value. So whatever Hrite artham yat pratiyeta, if anything in the material world is connected with me, Lord Vishnu says, then it is artham. Then it has got value. Na pratiyeta chatmani. But if it is not with my, not connected with me, atmani, if it is not connected with me, then it is not pratiyeta. Then it has got no value. And if it has got no value, then what is it? Pratiyeta me pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani. Tad vidyata mano maya. Vidyata. No with knowledge that anything in the material world that is not connected to me, with me, it is maya. It is maya. It is illusory energy. And what is that illusory energy? Yatha bhasho yatha tamaha. It is bhasha. It is abhash. Abhash means it's a reflection. It's a reflection. It's a reflection in tamaha, in darkness. So, in 11 times, what does it mean? That anything that is connected with Krishna has got value. Anything that is not connected with Krishna has got no value. It is maya. Prabhupada gave us the energy that you can have many zeros, and at the end of the day, their value is zero. But if you add one in front of it, which is Krishna, then you start getting some value and you can have a lot of value, because there is always that one in front of the zeros. So this is like that, you know, now the Tiyatanchana. So, now, so what is Ananta is what I want to speak about. Yeah, what is Ananta? Because the fact that we are not getting the taste of the Hari is because of the Anathas, because of our material entanglement. So, here we see that the expression given by Lord Vishnu is that anything that is not connected with him is Maya. Now let's just speak another version and then understand what is Ananta. If you look at the last one, in the second stanza, it says that Abrahma, what is that? Abrahma is Stamba Padayantam. Sarvam Maya Maya Jada. Satyam Satyam Puna Satyam Harinameva Kevanam. So, Abrahma is Stamba Padayantam. Abrahma. So, from Brahma to Stamba. Stamba is right now. Blade of grass on the road. So from Brahma to Istamba Paryanta, Sarva Maya Maya Jagat. Even that is Maya. Now this is interesting because how can Lord Brahma be Maya? How can grass be Maya? Because Maya means illusory. Brahma is not illusory. A blade of grass is not illusory. So how can this be Maya? How can this be illusory? And before we answer that, then what is not illusory? Satyam, Satyam, Puna, Satyam, and we know that in Vedic literatures, anything repeated three times becomes absolutely important. So Satyam, Satyam, Puna, Satyam, there is only one thing that is absolutely truth, real, and what is that? Harinameva Kevalam, beautiful essay, very, very beautiful essay, very touching. So, there are two aspects to understand when we discuss about illusory energy. Firstly, something can be illusory in our perception and something can be illusory also in conception. Let me explain all that, yeah? Probably this brilliant example of this, that when we see the mirage in the desert and we run after it thinking it is water, but there is no water, it is an illusion. Now there when we analyze that, illusory energy or illusion there means that it is in the perception of the person seeing. Because mirage is genuinely not real. It is just a reflection. It absolutely doesn't even exist. So you can say it is a perception that there is mirage, but there is nothing such as mirage. There is nothing such as water. So that's the perception. The other aspect of illusory energy is that even if something is real, this is the point. Even if something is real, even the blade of grass is real, or if you have got something as big as the position of Lord Brahma, which is the biggest position in the material world, even that is illusory if it is not connected with Lord Vishnu. You get the point? If it is not connected with Vishnu, even if it is real, it is Maya. So for example, a house, now we get real things, a house, a car, family, money, whatever. If it's not in connection with Krishna, then it is also Maya. Oh, that's a little sobering to see it from that point of view. But that is the reality. So here, if you go into the Sutta Bhagavatam, you say artha vyapratiya. So artha, it has got value in its connection with Krishna. Something that is not artha, it becomes unartha. Although in Sanskrit we spell unartha as he. I-N, anartha. But in English, when we add the words U-N to anything, it literally takes the opposite meaning. Yeah? So, artha becomes unartha if it is not connected with Krishna. So, what is our problem? I'm going back to the question in this particular session that I picked up. You say, why are we not getting the taste in the holy name of the Lord? We are not getting the taste in the holy name of the Lord because we are suffering from bhava roga of anarthas. And what is anarthas? Seeing things, material, that we think will give us pleasure, but it does not. And why? Because we don't connect those things to Krishna. we think that those things will give us pleasure. And whether it be any wealth, any car, whatever, friends, it will not give us pleasure in the long term. So there is illusion that these things will give us pleasure, but it doesn't. And that's why the place doesn't come. Now, so if there is a problem, that we have got the bhava-roka of anarthas, material desires, that is stopping us from tasting the holy name, the nectar in the holy name, then what is the medicine? We have to have a medicine, to get to that stage. If the bhava-roka is the anartha, the bhava-aushadi is the holy name. Bhava-aushadi means the medicine. The medicine to get us out of the defective chanting or the unseen attentive chanting is chanting itself. Now this is the beauty. This is the beauty of the holy name of the Lord. Now the holy name of the Lord is the solution to get to the pure state of chanting the holy name. And that's why we say that inattentive chanting is not the best, but it is still the solution eventually that will take us to attentive chanting. So the Bhava Aushadi is the holy name of the Lord. Krishna is given himself in this, has manifested his full power in this holy name for it to work for us. So now, coming back, if Bhava Aushadi is the holy name of the Lord, that once we get keyword, it will give us the taste, what should be our focus at the moment? If we take this energy, when we have a disease, when a medicine is given to us, do we focus on the taste of the medicine? If the pharmacist gives us a medicine to take us out of our disease, do we focus on the taste of the medicine or do we focus on the effect of the medicine? We will not say to the doctor, give me the most tastiest medicine on yourself because I've got this virus or whatever. Give me the tastiest medicine on yourself. We won't say. I mean, sometimes for the kids we might, because we want something that is flavored with strawberry and raspberry or whatever for them, so they will take their medicine. But as adults, even if the medicine is very bitter, or it's an austerity to take it, we still take it. Some of us take, a lot of things in the morning, like cow urine, or neem powder, something like that. And trust me, they don't taste the best. But we take it because we know that the effect of taking this will be beneficial for us. And actually what actually happens, in due course of time, if we keep taking that medicine, our tongue gets used to that taste. The bitter and the tanniness goes away and we don't even realize. I definitely had this experience with taking all things in the morning. So, we know that the holy name is the Bhava Aushadi to take us out of our Bhava Roga. So even if we are not getting the taste, if we are getting the taste, amazing, beautiful, very nice. But if we are not, then we still take this because the effect of the holy name will work to eventually get us to that blissful taste that is in the holy name. And again, we know Prabhupada's famous example of the jaundice. Someone who is suffering from jaundice does not taste anything sweet. But the solution to jaundice is what? Keep taking something sweet, sugar candy or something, and eventually the jaundice will go away and the taste will manifest. So the holy name is like that. You keep taking it, taste or no taste, but the effect is definitely there. And how we know the effect is not there, even if we have not got the taste so far? Because it has worked for us. 100% guaranteed. Anyone of us will agree that the holy name is certainly working with us. Now, coming to the last part of Parayana Prasya, for maybe 3 minutes. What lessons can we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam about the glories of the holy name? Of course, whatever I have spoken is definitely coming from Bhagavatam. But I want to zoom into one particular section. Where is the holy name of the Lord recommended as the solution to the problems? Again, it's mentioned many times. Where is the genesis of it?
Are you talking about Ajamilos?
No, I want to go back to almost like, to the point zero, kind of point zero, where does it start? Srimad Bhagavatam has been on, Canto 1 is Sanchita Goswami is talking to the sages of Naimisharanya, and he's telling about something that was discussed between Sukadeva Goswami and Parishad Maharaj. So, chapter 19 of Canto 1, when Parikshit Maharaj appears, he's appeared in other chapters as well, but that is when he has been cursed by the Brahmana boy to die within the 7 days. So, Maharaj Parikshit asks this famous question in the Bhagavatam, which is the question on which the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is based. Yeah? What was this question? What is the duty of someone who is about? What is the duty of someone at any point in time, and especially if a person who is about to die? And that is a very, very fundamental question. That's one of the most important questions in our life. What is my duty at any point in time, especially if I'm about to die? And when are we going to die? We could die at any point in time. So it's equally applicable to us. At least Maharaj Parikshit had the fortune of knowing he's going to die in 7 days. Ours could be 7 seconds or 7 minutes or 7 days or 7 years. We don't know. So we got to be ready. So if you think of it, when Maharaj Parikshit has this question, and Canto 2 starts with Sukhdev Goswami speaking. Now Sukhdev Goswami is a pure devotee of the Lord, and he is of course chosen to address Maharaj Parikshit's question. If you think of it, at what point in time should Sukhdev Goswami give the answer to this question? Because you basically someone asked it. If such a fundamental question has been asked, and knowing that Parikshit Maharaj is about to die, at what point in time should Parikshit Maharaj give the answer to this question? At the beginning of the discussion, at the middle of the discussion, or right at the end of the 7th day of the discussion? When would be the right time? Right at the beginning. Why? Because it's a matter of agency at the moment. Now, if you look at it, Parikshit Maharaj also is a pure devotee, but from a legal point of view, he's also got a disease. His disease is that he will die in 7 days. I'll say disease in inverted commas because he was a pure devotee in the world. But he wants a prescription for his problem because he's about to leave his body. So, of course, if the Goswami has to give him the answer immediately. So, Canto 2 opens up it, no? Chapter 1, Chapter 2, Chapter 3. That's why when Sukhdev Goswami answers this question, it's just so tactfully, no? So masterfully answers this question. Because if you see the thread of Canto 2, Chapter 1, 2 and 3, that he will dismantle something that Parikshit Maharaj should not do, and that applies to us, that we should not do, and immediately give the description of what should you do. So for example, in Chapter 1 of Canto 2, he will say that Deha Pratyagata Vishwa Atma Sainyasva Satsati. Don't be entangled, you know, in your family life. Don't be entangled with all this. Just, you know, eating, sleeping, making and defending, you know. Illicit sex in the night and sleeping and making money and looking after your family in the daytime. Don't do all this. Don't do any old worship. Don't just do other yogas. The best thing is what? Etani Vidya Manana Ichatam Apukohayam Yogi Nam Yerko Yerinitam Hare Nam Anukirtanam Hare Nam Anukirtanam. Chant the holy name of the Lord in the footsteps of the acharyas. That is the prescription to the problem. This is the answer to Parikshit Maharaj's question. Right at the beginning of Kangaroo. Now, if you think of it, fundamental question asked by Parikshit Maharaj is, what is my duty? And undoubtedly, you know, perfect answer given by Sukhdev Goswami is chant the holy name of the Lord. Done. If you think of it, Bhagavatam should stop. By chapter 3, Canto 2, to think of it, Bhagavatam should stop because he has answered the question now. Then why do we have so many other cantos and chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam right until 12? Why so many other discussions?
You more examples of devotees who have perfect their life by chanting.
It is there because Maharaj Parikshit, after having taken that answer from Sukhdev Goswami, after having taken that medicine from Sukhdev Goswami, is now After being administered that medicine by Sukhdev Goswami, he is now taking that medicine. It's like in English they say, you walk the talk. So you have told me that I should chant the glories of the holy name. And for him, you know, it was hearing and singing the glories of the holy name. So for the remaining 7 days, or 6 days and 7 hours, Sukhdev Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj is taking this medicine, the Bhava Aushadhi of the holy name of the Lord, through the lotus leaf of Sukhdev Goswami. Till his last breath, he is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam only. Prabhupada also showed us the same energy, that he was glorifying the Bhagavatam. He carried Bhagavatam to America. Now, we would carry so many things, and before our Krishna consciousness, we would carry so many things. Bhagavatam would be the last thing in our bag. But Prabhupada, there was nothing but Bhagavatam. 3 volumes of Canto 1 he carried to, you know, on the Jaladutta. So he carried Bhagavatam with him, and before leaving, you know, the material world, the last thing that he did was glorify the own hands to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is an example of taking the medicine continuously. Of course, Prabhupada didn't have to do this, he was a devotee, but to show as an example that to glorify Bhagavatam, glorify the holy name of the Lord is the bhava aushadi for our bhava rupa of this material world, to get rid of Brahmanas. Once we get to that stage, then the chanting of the holy name, or the sweetness of the chanting of the holy name, will fully manifest in our hearts. So, because it's the world holy name again, a holy name week again, and because it's the Purushottama month, starting from tomorrow, what can we do? What can we do after an understanding of this? And I'm sure you already had this understanding, but after going through the refresher, what can we do? There are so many things we can do, to go deeper into our sadhana. Now, of course, we don't have to, it would be unwise to aim so high that we fall down in the ethereal. My encouragement and inspiration to be, as much as it is an application to me, from whatever sadhana we are doing, we definitely do more. How much more? That just depends on individuals. But talk to people that are your mentors and your seniors and get some guidance, so that there is somebody that, let's say, you are accountable to, so that they can inspire you if we sleep, and definitely go deeper into our sadhana. But my humble request, and I'm making this request for myself as well, to be honest, the bare minimum that we should do, is at least chant our 16 rounds with focus. After having understood all this, that our problem is we are not getting the chance because we are chanting inattentively. The holy name is the only medicine. Maharaj Parikshit showed it, Prabhupada showed it. We know that we may not be getting the taste in the holy name, we are aspiring for it. So this is one month when the effect of the chanting of the holy name is again glorified. Like when we say, when we sadhana in Kartik, it is magnified thousands of times. So in the Purushottam month, it is said that the effect of any devotional service is multiplied even more than how much it will be multiplied in Kartik. What a beautiful opportunity for us. And this comes only once in 4 years or something like that. So it's a beautiful opportunity for us to go deeper into the sadhana. So the bare minimum we should do is find that 1.5 hours to 2 hours, a very, very private time, when we can put everything aside, and we know that this time has to be in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, when nothing else matters. And we sit down and chant the holy name of the Lord with as much attention as we can go to. If we can do this much, if we have been doing inattentive chanting, looking at the mobile phone while driving, while juggling this and that, then for this month, this is my prayer to the Lord, that at least help me chant attentively for this 30 days at least. And then if I can do extra chanting, extra reading, extra cooking, whatever else is our default interest. Some of us like to read, some of us like to chant, some of us like to cook. We can do all that. But minimum 16 hours of attentive chanting, and hopefully a little bit more chanting as well. So that's what we think. So I hope this has been useful. I'll stop here. Any questions and comments? Yeah.
We mentioned about inattentive chanting, continue that and will lead to attentive chanting. Like sometimes I just wonder or fear whether people actually eat attentive chanting, or we have that verse, Bahu Janma Kari Tisha Vinti, think about chanting, you will not hear. So I just wonder which way.
Yeah, and as I said, it's a difficult question that gets discussed. But as I said, whether taste or no taste, the effect is there. Because it's Bhava Aushadhi, the effect is there. So let's focus on the effect, that it is purifying us. We are not getting the taste because we are not purified. And how to get purified is to take the holy name of the Lord. So let's, for this month at least, let's focus on the effect. And how we can focus on the effect is that we want every sound vibration to go in our ears. Everything. Every syllable should be heard attentively. And that will affect us. And trust me, if we can do this for a day, for two, for 3 days, I'm 100% sure the effect will be so much that some excitement will bubble up. And it does. Don't be afraid that if you change 16 rounds in the morning, even if it's not with full attention, compared to chanting the 16 rounds here and there and definitely at 10 p.m. in the night, it's so different experience that we go through, don't we? The experience in the morning is totally different from the one in the evening. So we can already see the difference. Now imagine, giving us, there are moments in bhakti and there are momentum in bhakti, no? So if you take one moment tomorrow morning, another moment on Saturday morning and Sunday morning, and we give a push, a lot of momentum to this, 100% amazing, that very soon some excitement will bubble, in our heart like soda water, there will be sparks. And if we just beg the Lord for His mercy, then miracles will happen. It's the sincerity. Yeah? We change with sincerity, beg the Lord for His mercy, wonders will happen. But another thing to keep in mind, and again talking about anartha, is that we have to do. This is important, especially for myself. We have to do yajna of the nama. Sankirtana yajna, we say. The yajna of the nama. What does the yajna of the nama mean? That the holy name is Krishna, and we do our sacrifice, our austerity in chanting the holy name of the Lord. We should not at any stage, because it's Purushottama month, we are waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, we are chanting 64 rounds, we are doing so much of Bhagavatam, we are doing so much of Om and preaching. It should not become a yajna for nama. There's a difference between yajna of nama and yajna for nama. Yajna of nama means we are worshipping the holy name of the Lord. Yajna for nama means we are doing all the yajna for our name. That our pride and our puja and pratishtha will go up, because don't people know in the Melbourne congregation, that I'm chanting 64 rounds a day. Don't you know that I'm actually also preaching to people in India, online all this. So if this kind of mood comes, then this is just actually adding to already anarthas that is there. This is just increasing the anartha. So how will the taste and holy name come? The point is to get rid of the anartha. So do yajna of the name, worship of the name. Not we'll do all this extra efforts that our name goes up in the society, not for that. Then we defeat the whole purpose. Yeah? Anything else? Next question. No? We'll stop here with the score of the nine one. Yeah. Holy name Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki
Jai,
Dharadrasya Nabasam ki
Jai,
Srila Prabhupada.